B-Pod Studios.
Don't, you know, be a diva.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They're very big.
I have spotters have outsourced dining from restaurants and cafes. It's like a godsend. Maybe, I hate to say what's going on here, so they woke up, all put up a lot of eyes. Because the Europeans have been doing this for years. Why can't we? This is our little Italy. It's one of the best little Italy in the country. This would be a godsend. And I think the diners love it. We love it. I think it'd be good for the city and the state.
My name is Boxer Bell. Fantastic. It's at 3 o'clock, I have my first Manhattan.
Go Red Star.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. That music could mean only one thing. The most famous resident of the North End is a man by the name of Mark Gemelli.
He's the king of North End. Can't we? We can proclaim him the king of North End, correct?
He borrows my socks. So he's a man with four recliners. He is Nick Gemelli's father. That's the thing Nick Gemelli is the most known for, is that he has a father that is Mark Gemelli. And as you just heard, Boston has opened up the streets of the North End for outdoor dining, al fresco dining. And Mark Gemelli, how are you doing?
Well, it's like being on the Champs-Élysées. We're in Paris, has come to the North End. Thank God.
All right, is
it you like it?
Serve people.
Are you liking it? Because, I mean, these are, first of all, these are a lot of your friends. You're friends with all these guys who own the restaurants.
It's been horrible for them. It's been horrible for people. And their wait staff and their bartenders and their dishwashers. It's really been a, you know, we know it's a pandemic. We know we've never lived through anything like this. So I'm very happy to see. Yesterday was a day of celebration. Even with the rain, it was a day of celebration here.
How did you celebrate?
Trying to get businesses open, you know. You know, every place I stopped, they'd go, "Hey, Mark, some calamari," you know, and pour it out, right? I go, "Oh, guys, I just had three platefuls." But it's a wonderful thing. We're open for business, and they're doing everything right. They got tape measures out there. They got the mask on, the gloves on. You don't know who's going to rob you, but, you know, It's a beautiful thing.
I don't think anyone's robbing Mark Gemelli in the middle of his neighborhood. I have a feeling you might have quite a few people who might stand up for you at that point. And that's probably the worst idea ever, to rob Mark Gemelli out in the North End, wouldn't you say?
Well, I when you started to say that and you said stand up, I thought you were going to say stab in the back. But yes, most of them would.
And Mark Gemelli,
I'm working with a new physical trainer this week. And he was all excited. He said to me, he opened the shop right across from here. And he goes, "Mr. Gemelli, you don't understand. He has a pit bull in the corner of the store." I go, "Oh, yeah." Well, he goes, "I named my dog after you."
Really?
Wow.
I said, "You did what?" He goes, "Yep, his name is Meatball."
What an honor.
I know. You know, now I'm trying to lift a weight. I go, "Oh, freak Meatball." You know, oh, my God.
Well, that's fantastic. So what do you do? I mean, you're going to this training? You're trying to get jacked? Is that what's going on?
Well, I'm just trying to stay alive. You know, I want to get into a tuxedo under a 58 for Nick's wedding, you know?
Yeah.
So, I got a little time to work out, but I went yesterday, and it's 30 minutes, and, you know, I felt it. But he's doing me very gradually, thank God.
Now, how does that, I guess, what's the balance between doing that and your normal pasta meatball diet? I mean, are you changing what you're eating? Because that would be probably the toughest part, wouldn't it be?
Oh, no, because carbs are good. What? You know, for building right. yourself up.
Yeah.
Carbs are good. But, I have changed my eating. I'm down to 2 meatballs a day instead of 20. You know?
The size of them, though.
Yeah, I know. The bigger meatball. And the Manhattans are just, you know, I said, look, I drink 2 Manhattans a day, and now I have a brandy or a brandy and a half at night, depending on the news. And it just calms me down. I said, so work that into my workout.
Okay.
So he goes, instead of a half an hour, we may have to boost you up to our 6-hour minimum, you know, get you to work out.
All right, so Nick just celebrated the 2nd anniversary of when his fiance walked in on him covered in feces, dead to the world, but yes. is still living. Did you celebrate that at all, the anniversary?
Well, I celebrate it every day, Fred. I do. I'm so happy, and she's the greatest gal anybody could ask for their son. And we celebrated. You know, I can't see anybody. I haven't seen, nobody comes. Cause
they don't come?
Well, they're afraid of the virus, you know.
But they can come to their dad's house.
Yeah, it's, you know, they got to get by a lot of old people before they get to me. So it's safer for everybody just to, you know, keep it on the low grade until... Until we get the all clear.
You've been on like Zoom? That. You've been Zooming at least?
Yes, I Zoom, and I understand that I have to have pants on when I Zoom. My daughters get a little upset. I even actually one day forgot about a medical Zoom that was coming, and when the doctor called, it has been my doctor for 30 years, I answered it, and I thought it was one of the kids, and it was him, and I don't have a shirt on.
Oh.
And he goes, oh, wow, you look good. I go, the best thing about Zoom telehealth, nobody realizes. And Dr. Lane said, what? I go, you can't weigh me. There's no way you can weigh me. So whatever I say to you, you have to agree with. I said, so... you know, it's a different world. So yesterday, getting those tables set up on Hanover Street, mm-hmm. getting decking put out on the street to make it even, it's really great. It's a start.
Yeah. Now it actually feels like, and the thing is too, is when those tables are out there, it does more than one thing, you know, not just have places where people can eat and these stores can make money, but I mean, it's all over the news. So now it basically is telling all of Boston, hey, the North End's open for business. So just get ready this weekend, as long as the weather stays nice.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be, you're going to have a lot more people outside your window there, Mr. Jamelli.
Well, you know, the sandlot's been, the bakeries have been open, you know, which is such a big part of our business. So people come in, get their stuff, and then, you know, we have beautiful park benches. We have the Greenway. We have a lot of places to sit and enjoy food. So, yes, I am hoping that it gets more and more people here. I'll stay 6 feet away from everybody, but it's a good thing that they did that, you know.
You're going to have a virtual St. Anthony's Feast then.
What a sad year. What a sad year. You know, I'm so happy Christopher Columbus can't see it from the statue.
That was a clean cut, too. Yeah. I mean,
when I woke up the next morning, guys, I really figured that head would be in my bed. I really did.
It's like the historic Godfather.
Godfather with the horse's head, you know? It was something. But people have the right to do what they do, I guess. So everybody needs to make a statement, and we got to accept it and move on.
Mark, I'm going to start a petition. If they are going to take down the Christopher Columbus statue, it needs to be replaced with one of you.
There it is.
But thank you very much. They did take it down. So there is an empty pedestal there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'd be willing to any artist out there wants to do a sculpture of me, it's going to take a lot of material, but I would be happy to pose for it. I really
who embodies the spirit of the North End better than Mr. Mark Jamelli? You're their biggest advocate. You know, people, they hear you talk, they get excited for going and visiting. I mean, you're the guy. People are naming their dogs after you. Come on, is there anyone better?
But, Mark, maybe you just stand on the pedestal for a few hours a day.
Yes, and I can't wait once Nick and Brittany are married to get my first grandchild. We're going to name him Meatball. It's going to be beautiful.
All right. Well, Mr. Jamelli, it is always a pleasure to talk to you. And good luck to any person named Meatball. All right.
You. And fellas, you're all welcome to the North End. Please come. John, you guys, all of you, you know?
Okay.
I like how he throws in John. Even John.
Yeah, even me. Thanks.
Even John. Even Joe Murray sitting there somewhere. Yeah.
That's right.
All right. Thank you so much, Mr. Jamelli.
Glad to have you back, Freddie.
Thank you. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Toucher, Rich, Wallach, and you.
Dan, go ahead.
What could possibly go wrong?
Fred, you are infuriating.
It's Toucher and Rich.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
So, as you see all these leagues getting back, and you know you've got the NBA, the NHL, MLS, you know, they're all planning on, and baseball for now, planning on having sports with no fans. Meanwhile, there's certain states like Texas has been talking about how even when baseball starts back up, they're considering letting a certain amount of people go to games. NASCAR, I think it's next weekend, is going to start allowing very few relative to the size of the actual racetrack. I think it's 5,000 people at first, but then you know they're going to consider expanding as it goes. So sports are dipping their toe in the water and trying to figure out what's safe, what's going to work. The NFL, as of right now, everything they've been saying is that they're planning on having, you know, stadiums full with people. No, full or not, that discussion is going to come a little bit closer to when the season actually starts. But you're going to have a moment next week that might change everything, whether it's for the better or for the worse. It was announced yesterday that Donald Trump is going to have his first rally since, I guess, February or March when this whole thing started. And it's going to be in Oklahoma. There's, you know, people, there's a lot of issues with people been talking about why there and why on that date. But that's beside the point. I'm just looking at the sports side of it here. This is an arena that holds 19,000 people. And according to everything I've read, it doesn't sound like they are going to have spaces between seats. From everything I've been reading so far, as a matter of fact, last month, you know, Donald Trump said you can't have a rally with, you know, seven seats in between everybody. So I have not seen any indication that this 19,000 person arena isn't going to be close to filled, or at least an attempt to have it sell that many tickets. Okay. But so think about that. You now have on TV an arena filled with people while you have all these other leagues saying we're afraid to have people, you know, sit near each other, and we've been discussing socially distancing. The playoffs aren't going to have anyone. And now on the biggest stage with the president there, it's going to be a massive news story. You're going to have a stadium packed with 19,000 people. But there was one thing, one catch, if you're going to be one of the people that goes to this arena. So Donald Trump, apparently, as you register for tickets online, there is something written right before where you click to get your pair. It says, by clicking register below, you are acknowledging that an inherent risk of exposure to COVID-19 exists in any public place where people are present. By attending the rally, you and any guests voluntarily assume all risks related to exposure of COVID-19 and agree not to hold Donald J. Trump for President Incorporated, the Box Center, ASM Global, or any of their affiliates, directors, officers, employees, agents, contractors, or volunteers liable for any illness or injury. So what he's saying is that, listen, we want a full house. You get sick, you ain't suing us. Nope. And I'm starting to think about some of these things like SEC football games, like places down south where you're not going to have a problem filling those even during a pandemic. Like people are going to show up for Alabama games. It's going to sell out. But this is kind of something I never really thought about until yesterday. And that is, what if you go to one of these places? Like, would you be able to sue the SEC or the school because they didn't do everything they could in order to keep you safe? And I'm wondering if when sports start back up, you're going to have to sign a waiver that basically says, I get sick, I ain't suing anybody, and it's on me.
Sure. I mean, not only the SEC, Michigan State says they're opening up 30,000 seats, and they're going to give them to donors and students and season ticket holders. So, I mean, they're playing football. They're having kids come back to school.
But up to this point, even with places like there and the SEC and talk that we've heard, and even in Texas where, you know, it's a free-for-all, there's always been this, we're going to keep it a certain percentage of the normal fans that we're going to let in. As of right now, it seems like they're just opening up the floodgates. And I wonder if that's going to affect any of these leagues, any of their these colleges, on whether they're going to completely rethink that and go, you know what? We're losing out a lot of money by only letting 50% in. What if we let 100% in, but we had them sign something? To see how it goes.
Couldn't you argue with, even without someone signing something, that you would be aware of the inherent risks of going somewhere and being that close to people?
Well, I could see, you know, a lawyer saying, you know, there's like there is an expectation of safety when you go to an event. You know what I mean? It's like guardrails. We've seen people getting sued because they fell over the back of like a 300 section thing and they would win because the guardrail wasn't high enough. There's a reasonable expectation of safety. I'm thinking like a lawyer would think when you go to a place like this. So I'm just wondering if this event this week in June, by the way, when like 20 or 12 states rather, I think, are spiking. So with all of this going on, I wonder if that's going to change how many people are allowed in at once and how big these sporting events are going to be. And it's going to just speed it up. But to cover everyone's ass, there's going to be a liability waiver that you have to sign before you go in.
It would make sense. Even if there's any kind of question. You know, you were talking about the SEC filling their stadiums, Tennessee and South Carolina, which have been open for business for about 2 months by this time. I mean, you're tailgating with these people outside. I mean, it's not the exposure isn't just when you get inside. I mean, it's when you get on school property or you get on the property of the stadium that you have to make sure you're legally covered. I mean, isn't there language on the backs of tickets?
Yes.
For these kinds of things?
Yeah.
As well, I mean,
yeah, but people have still won lawsuits, you know.
No, I understand, and any amount of money you have to spend in court is money you'd rather have back in today's day and age. But still, I mean, you have to make sure waiver wise you're covered for everything.
And you know, someone makes a good point. They just tweeted me. And they said, you know, when you go to a baseball game, you know, you assume the risk of getting hit by a foul ball, you know, and there are certain things that you should expect.
Well, until you get hit by a foul ball and they have to put up netting between the dugout and the foul pole.
But that's different. Like, has there been a case where someone was hit by a foul ball and they sued the team?
I'm sure. Yeah. I mean, a girl was killed by a puck, and I have to imagine that her family got money.
How did the two people get hit by foul balls at Fenway, I mean, before they put up the netting?
Yeah,
I mean, I don't remember the court cases, if there were any, But I got to assume there was a lawyer in the victim's ear saying, hey, let's go. You got a case.
I mean, just
and
keep,
if I test positive for the virus, but I'm not sick, I mean, can I still sue him?
That's
I mean, just because I have it and, and I'm not sick?
That's a good point.
And also the liability waiver thing is wild because it only takes in, it only takes into account, like, you know, you getting sick, you know, not like you leaving and getting other people sick, you know, how you're creating this petri dish. It's just, it's,
you know,
it's
that's a good point. You contract the virus at, let's just say, a Tennessee, South Carolina football game. You're asymptomatic, though. You go home and infect three of your family members who wind up in the hospital and the bills go sky high. I mean, can you sue them for that?
Well, I'm just thinking about, once again, I'm not even want to get into the whole, like, how it spreads and all of that, but I just, the visual that we're going to see next week is going to have leagues, and it's going to have athletes, and it's going to have a lot of people taking a look and going, whoa, well, I guess we're okay now. And I guess we can fill a 19,000-foot stadium without any spacing. I'm just wondering if something like that is going to just the people who've been talking about and setting up all these things like the Miami plan where you're only going to, you know, exit in certain rows and everyone's spaced out. I just wonder if you're going to have certain leagues who are going to take their plans and just crumple them up and throw them to a waste by and say, all right, it's waiver time. I guess that's the way we're going to play. There's a hunger for it. If you want to go, you sign this thing and you come on in and we'll take your money. We will take your cash. Why didn't we think of this in the first place? And I just got a feeling that there's going to be certain leagues, probably mostly college leagues, that are going to look at that and go, well, that's the new way. That's the way we're going to go now.
I don't know about that because of the students and the students carrying it back onto campus. I would say that professional football, or I'd probably say professional football, is the first one to really kind of loosen things up. Because I would have to think that if you're at college and you have students, you know, returning to classrooms, it's infecting more than – it could have an effect on much more than the people that were in the stands. I mean, it could have an effect on your, you know, a bunch of people in the student body.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I'm not sure about that. All right, we'll be right back. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
What's up? More of Toucher and Rich.
Stuff is never what you think it is.
On Boston's Home for Sports.
Some people just love to speak in emoji there, Fred.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okay. 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And the pool's open. And I don't know if the JCC's pool's open, but the pool's open.
I think today's a beach day. I think it's supposed to be nice.
Yes, I think that it's supposed to be very nice outside today. So, I mean, and the social distancing is going to be interesting. The whole nine is going to be very interesting.
Yeah, who's yelling at the people on the beach to stay away from the other people? That's my question. Like when, especially when the tide comes up, Fred. I'm a big beach person, and where I currently reside, the beach opened on Wednesday. At that point, it was just activity only, like walking and running. Now it's hoping for just putting your fat ass in the sand.
Has York's Wild Kingdom opened back up? You've been over there?
No. I went by it last night, Rich. Did drive by it last night. No, the animals were all at the gate trying to get out.
By the way, speaking of York's Wild Kingdom, for some reason in my head, I imagine there constantly being like low quality circus music playing. Like they're just like,
yeah, that's about right. Yeah. That one-eyed yak is begging for a chance for freedom.
So wait, is this the one where the people, like the guy runs out and scares everyone?
No. That's New Hampshire.
Clark's Trading Post.
Yeah, that's Clark's Trading Post.
No, York is in Maine on the coast. Yeah.
No. This is like right over the border of Maine, in York, Maine. Yeah. And York's Wild Kingdom, it's like, you know, got these kid amusement park rides, but then it's got animals, which I'm not talking for experience. I've just seen the billboard and I've talked to John about it.
No, talk to me. Bring it over here. I know exactly what it is.
Yes. So, I mean, we're not talking like giraffes, are we?
No, not that I remember. Not giraffes. No.
A few llamas.
A few llamas that are very sad.
It's like a dude's farm.
Like a turtle stuck in the sand and he's just like, ah.
Yeah.
Did I tell you that when I went to that drive-thru one, the Lion Country Safari down in Florida.
I know about that one, Rich, too.
Oh, dude, it's the best. And I'm not joking. The first animal that I saw as you go in the big gate where you know, it's a drive-thru safari and the animal's just wandering around. The very first animal I saw, and I kid you not, was one of those like mega turtles, like the shell is the size of like a hubcap, and its head was down in this puddle of water. And first I'm like, oh, he's drinking, but no, it was submerged. And me thinks he's dead. And like, so traffic was backed up, and there's times where you just don't move for a good like, you know, 3-4 minutes, and I just watched this turtle, and like his eye was underwater. So I just think sometimes, hey, listen, you got a bunch, you have that many animals, you don't realize that several of them are dead or died on you, and maybe just leave them right at the front entrance. But I don't think York's is not a drive-through, right?
No.
Okay, all right. Well, that's I just listen. All the businesses you want to get back up and running, but I just for some reason I know everything's okay.
Go to the beach.
Yeah, it's safer.
They're all over there. But I was thinking of that circus music, and somebody recently has been going through my neighborhood. There's an ice cream man, like, working during all of this.
Hell yeah.
Like, pandemic ice cream man. And, they're playing the classic music. You know, ding, 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 ding. And there was a moment yesterday where I turned to my wife and I'm like, is it me or has that ice cream man been sitting outside of our house for 30 minutes? And I look, and he's just parked, and he's on the phone, but he forgot to turn his like song off. So he just did a phone call in front of our place for over 30 minutes with a ding, 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 ding. And at some point, and once you notice it, and once you realize it there, it really starts to get under your skin. And it's
you don't say. you thought having the Dropkick Murphys was bad.
Oh, well, that was pretty, because I was sick at the time when they were the parade. Was trapped right in front of my place.
Yeah, you don't say the haunting sounds of, like, because once you're over the age of 7, the ice cream man sound becomes far different than it was when you were a youngster.
There's something visceral, though, about hearing it in the distance that you can't, that doesn't leave your genetics. Like, you know, when you're a kid, if you heard that, like, stuff was about to go down, and your adrenaline went through the roof because you not only knew that the ice cream man was coming, but you had to sprint inside, either get your own coins or cash that you had, find out where those were, or you had to have time to beg your parents in order to get it, and then still find time to be able to haul ass out and catch the dude. So, I mean, it is like the firing gun going off at the beginning of a race. The second you hear that, like, oh, an adrenaline goes through the roof. So even as an adult, when you first hear that part of you, like, your hair stands up, like, whoa. Like,
I just remember sitting there, and I can't think of anything worse than being an ice cream man, because just sitting there and just going, what are you going to get? Stop. Like, it's the biggest decision in the world. I want a bomb pop. No, I want a push-up. Push-up. Bomb pop. Ah! Like, I mean, that would be the worst.
What was the cone with the bubble gum at the bottom of it that would always, it would seep through the cone? Screwball! That's right.
There you go.
And Mike says the Chipwich. Chipwich was the other one.
Yeah, well, Chipwich, right. Chipwich was the best. Like, that was the king of the ice cream truck. There's no question. It was the two cookies with vanilla ice cream in the middle and the chocolate chips around it. That was...
No, but the Screwball had one of those, like, balls of gum from, like, a vending machine.
Yeah.
Yep. Like, the one that you had to turn that had... no flavor but die. Like, they didn't even, like, I'm telling you, they don't even try to flavor those. They're just like, hey, here's a bunch of dye on a circle.
You're right. Chewy dyed sugar. Like, yeah. They would put there at the bottom.
Yeah, it's just awful.
Yeah, it would always melt through the cone, too, all over your hand by the time you were done with it. Like, the cone just didn't... It was like a paper, white paper cone that it was jammed into.
Yes. Well, you know, you're complaining about the quality of something that's been driving around in a truck all day. I mean, it's got to be... Yeah, when they came by and you had to chase them down, and then ultimately, so you've ran all this way to get the ice cream, and then you sit there for 4 hours... trying to evaluate what to get.
All right. I got to know. Are there any ice cream men listening? Because
driving around with those drumsticks.
What do they do? Do they go underground for a while?
I need ice cream man confessionals. I got some questions about
there could be some things that you don't want to know.
Yeah. No, I need to know. 617-779-0985. I've always had questions about, like,
how do you know what routes, what neighborhoods to go through exactly?
Well no, I want to know, like, you know, just how fresh are those ice cream cones you have in there? Like, I mean, what's the most dated one you've ever sold?
Yeah.
Did you ever just, if there was a kid that was a dick to you, did you ever just piss him off just to, like when you knew he was coming, you hit that gas just to piss him off? Like, it's got to be, there's a lot of questions I have.
I want to know, is there a warehouse that all ice cream trucks go to fill up? Or do they all just keep driving around with the same stuff for 6 months?
I don't know. Somebody said,
oh,
wrestling
I can't think there's a storage facility. I got to imagine that you make the purchases and then you keep them in the refrigerated truck.
Okay.
Are there ice cream truck turf wars?
That's true.
Oh,
that's
for real.
Yeah.
Because if you get to, like, opening day of Little League Baseball, that's your mortgage payment.
Oh, sure.
So, I mean, there's got to be something. Because they have a hot dog guy that comes to the opening day of baseball. It's like a trailer that they sell hot dogs out of. Which I got to think is not a year out around business. I got to think the appeal of ice cream next to the appeal of a hot dog. Sir, I'll have 3 hot dogs. Please pull over.
Well, there was a turf war at Boston Common between 2 inflatable balloon guys, the dudes who would stand out over by the Frog Pond playground, and there was always a guy that was there, and then a new dude came in, and I've seen the two of them jawing at each other. Like, it wasn't pretty. Like, you don't steal my balloon animal business out from right underneath me with your cool new squeaky hat and colorful music that you're playing from your 1986 boombox that's attached to your cart. Come on. Who do you think you are? This is my territory. And I got to think with ice cream trucks, there's like you're peeing on your ground, man. This is where I stand. And if you cross this line, we got issues.
Yeah, there's no question about it. There's no question about it. All right. If you're an ice cream man and you call in, great.
We got nothing else confessional.
We got nothing else to talk about. All right. 617-779-0985. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
There's a disagreement here in studio.
How unusual.
I'll tell you what, it's what makes us different that makes us great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I can't date a woman that doesn't steak, doesn't like to eat at the position of ice cream.
God. Dedicate one to the lady. Now, sometimes a bang needs something to keep you cool. I'm out summertime's here, babe. Need something to keep you cool. Better look out now, though. Dave's got something for you. Tell you what it is. I'm your ice cream man. Stop me when I'm passing by. Oh, my, I'm your ice cream man. Stop me when I'm passing by. See, now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy. Hold on a second, babe.
Hold on.
I got my banana.
Yeah. My banana, that means
that means my penis.
Yeah, but I know he means like his penis, and it's this is supposed to be about sex, but I don't get it.
Well, push-ups, I think you get that, you know.
Not really.
Well, you know, he's doing a push-up. There's the push-up ice cream, which, by the way, are shockingly superior. They're very good. But then you're pushing up as you're fornicating, I guess. Be my
regular style.
Once again,
I mean, that's a huge stretch. That is a huge stretch.
I don't know what flavors are. It was push-ups. Means we're going to fornicate.
Dixie cups?
Dixie cups. I always thought that meant like a bra.
Why would he have a bra?
He's got push-up banana for your Dixie. He didn't say furrier. He just says push-up banana Dixie cups. Maybe he brings a bra with him, just in case you're kind of like too sloppy.
Yeah. Maybe he needs
cover all eventualities.
Yeah. He needs to wet his beak.
I don't think anyone's ever really analyzed those lyrics, Fred. I think we just started naming things. We went, oh, he's talking about doing it.
Yeah.
Dixie cups, that is strange.
That is just an overall thing. Yeah.
Frozen banana, I get.
Okay.
Dixie cups, I don't get. And push-ups.
The push-ups, I get. Of course, you're doing push-ups.
I don't know how you have sex, but for me, it's not a push-up.
Well, it's not how I do it. It's how David Lee Roth does it.
So he
knows.
Just... I don't know how that would work. You'd have to have a very flexible woman, a very malleable woman.
Sure. Maybe his shorts are being pushed up. I don't know. I bring a bra with me everywhere I go in case he got issues that you won't even know.
And he's obviously not into the very busty ladies if he's using Dixie cups.
Okay, that's a good point. That's right. He didn't even use the term screwball. I mean, that's like the one he thought would have been of all the ice creams he would have used.
I wonder if they wrote that song.
Like, you think it's like an old, like, blues standard? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, you know. They put out a whole album that was full of them.
It's true. A lot of covers. Maybe he did not. But I wouldn't doubt it. He's always going to do that. By the way, we just played the whole damn thing. How about that?
Well done.
By the way, that song, I'm a Halen fan. That song's embarrassing. Admit it. That's an embarrassing song. Like, that's not that good of a song.
I think every time he starts going, look at me, I'm an old man.
Yeah. Oh, one more time. Let's go around the corner one more time. Yeah, like, get ready to rock. Here it comes. Come on, boys.
Big Bad Bill is sweet, William.
No, he didn't write it. Apparently, it was an old blues standard. Nice
call.
Yeah.
There you go.
I have to think that was the case.
I just, for some reason, while we were on a break, I was looking to find out how much an ice cream truck would cost if you wanted to get one right now. And there's nothing creepier than the used ice cream truck market.
Oh, man.
All right. John on line one has owned a ice cream a truck. John, go ahead and join this great discussion.
I've been listening for a long time. I can't believe you guys had to talk about it. I drove an ice cream truck back in about 1995.
Okay.
Whatever questions you have, I can answer.
All right. Go ahead.
No, the funniest story was I had a designated driver. So he would just drive, and instead of soda, I would have a 30-pack of Coors Light in the fridge. So, you know, and no one's going to pull over an ice cream truck at 10 o'clock at night driving around town. So, I mean, that was a nice little setup I had.
All right. So
I got percentage of ice cream truck employees who are either under the influence of liquor or pot.
What was the question you had? Just answer. I'll answer any question you got on it.
That was well, a good one right there, I thought.
What's the percentage of ice cream truck employees who are either who have been drinking or stoned?
About 80.
Okay, about 80. All right, okay. So, all right. Did you ever, first of all, was there ever a kid that was like a total a-hole to you and that you ended up being able to exact your revenge on them?
No, not really. I wasn't that. I couldn't do that. But some of the parents were pretty nasty. They, you know, get out of my neighborhood. Don't come back. You know, stuff like that. So you had to be careful. It was,
Where were you?
It was interesting.
Where were you, an ice cream man? Like south side of Chicago? It seems like that.
Plymouth, Mass, man. That's kind of, you know, some areas, man. That's It's tough down there. I mean, I'll tell you what, the money was tremendous. And we had to
really?
Go. Yes, the money was awesome. We had to drive down to Hyannis, buy the ice cream from the guys that you rented the truck from. And that was their deal. The truck was cheap to rent, but you had to buy the ice cream from them. So after about a month, I said to myself, damn, this ice cream's freaking expensive. I got to drive all the way to Hyannis. Then all of a sudden, I said, let me go into Stop and Shop. So they started to catch on because my orders went down about 80% of what I was getting. But I still had to get stuff from there just so they wouldn't be like, you know.
Yeah.
But they caught on after a while.
So you don't want to piss off Big Ice Cream. I mean,
no. They were big shots down there. They had a bunch of trucks. I had a screwball special. You were talking about screwballs?
Yes. Yeah.
I had this thing called the screwball special. So the night before the 4th of July, I dug out the middle of the screwball and put vodka inside and then put the stuff back on top, and it froze. Everybody, oh, alcohol won't froze. Well, it goes all the way to the bottom to the screwball. So I called it a screwball special. And I only sold it to the adults, you know, of course. I was IDing people, no, but it was $5 for a little thing of screwball.
So you were the best ice cream man of all time. Like, parents
I think
are stuck.
So.
Yeah, parents are stuck at a baseball game and they're bored, and here comes the screwball special.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, were there turf wars? Did you ever have to, like, did somebody try to take you out at any point?
A couple times, yeah, but you have to have, like, a permit. So I had a route that nobody else went, like, down a neighborhood and all this. But you had certain places you could go, like, certain parks, certain places. So you couldn't really, you know. The best was the 4th of July on the down in Plymouth on the waterfront. Somebody got in a car accident and all the power went out. I was the only guy around with anything to eat. So I had to shut down all the restaurants because they didn't want all the food to go bad in the freezers, and I sat out on the jetty and sold my whole truck out.
Well, John, listen, who would have known that your adventures as a truck driver would one day make it on the airwaves of Boston? Thank you so much for the phone
call. Were there any women who ever, like, you know, because, I mean, listen, you're in a position of power. Did you get any phone numbers while you were doing your route?
Well, once in a while I would take them as a chaperone. They could jump in and, you know, take the money. They could take the money. I'd pass out the ice cream. They pass out the ice cream. I'd take the money, you know. So,
well, yeah, that was a dream of theirs, to get inside the ice cream truck and go for a ride.
Yes, with the siren on, you know, the little bell going and the light on top. I mean, it was a beautiful summer.
Did you ever hook up in the ice cream truck?
All right.
You know, I don't need to. My wife might be listening, so.
Okay.
Oh, no, because we weren't married then, but still, you know.
All right, John. Thank you so much for the phone call, sir.
Man, appreciate it.
Longest conversation with an ice cream man of all time. All right. No commercials here, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.